Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
The title of my message, yes, we're going there straight away. The title is Stay the Path. Come on, stay the path. Does that sound good? Some of you are like, I don't want to stay the path. I don't want to hear a message about staying the path. I'm off the path. Peace. I'm out of here. Well, hopefully my prayer for you is by the end of this message, you'll be inspired to actually stay the course in Jesus' name. Because I know that God has a destiny. He has a plan for your life. He has an incredible promise written across your life. And my hope for you is that you stay on that path towards all that God has for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I sound like I'm in a tin can. Is that right? A little bit? We'll just warm out those edges and yeah, it's great. Okay, amazing. Okay, Psalm 4 verses 1 is where we're reading out of. I stumbled across this scripture. I've read this scripture before, but there's a new version of the Bible that I am falling in love with, and it's the Passion Translation. Has anybody come across the Passion Translation? It's bringing to life scriptures that I have read for years, and they're falling on my heart in a totally new way. And hopefully it encourages you this morning. Psalm 4, verse 1, let's read it. It's going to be up on the screens for you. It says, God, this is coming from the heart of David. David is writing this psalm. God, you are my righteousness, my champion defender. Answer me when I cry for help. And listen to this. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarged me. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarged me. Why don't we pray together before we dive in anymore? Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you have brought us all to this place in time, in this season, in this room. There is absolutely no one person within the sound of my voice here just by coincidence or even by invitation. But Father, thank you that you've brought us all here for divine purpose. And so God, I pray that this word would actually help us and enable us to continue to move forward and to stretch out the boundary lines of our life so that we can continue towards you, towards your purpose, towards your destiny. Come on, in Jesus' name, everybody said, come on, a good amen. Amen. Hey, here's the time in the service where you don't sit back and get all, you know, don't observe. Don't be entertained by me. I am not an entertainer. I am not a comedian. I am a pastor. And so I am here to give you tools for your life. And what I know about you is the messages that you love the most are the ones where you are listening the best. When you go, that was a killer message. That message spoke to me. It's because you came with expectation that the word of God can actually speak to your heart, change your life, and help you in Jesus' name. Amen? So I want this to be a conversation. So just loosen up. We're going to have a conversation this morning. Sound good? Amen. Hey, so in 2012, we're going back a couple of years, not many. But at this stage in our life, in our family, I had already birthed two children within the last 2 years. And so I had a little, like, I don't know, he's around 2 years old, and then Abby was like a couple months old. And at this time, we actually had the offices of this church in the basement of my house, the basement of my townhome. I already could hear the neighbors, and I felt like I could be like, how's your dinner? And they're like, it's good. I'm like, yeah, us too. What are you having? Like, we already were, you know, kind of surrounded by people. We went, let's do a little bit more and have the whole office come into the basement of our house. Because if you didn't know, we started 7 years ago with like 15 people in my parents' living room. And then it kind of moved out of that whole, you know, environment. We actually had to find a public space with bathrooms and, you know, ways to serve people's needs and, you know, all that stuff. And so we progressed, but we still weren't at this place where we could go and, you know, buy a building to have an office, but we needed the space. We needed to come together, opened our home. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. I was like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. I don't know if that's accurate to this situation. But I was excited about it. I'm like, this is going to be so much fun. I'm never going to be alone. I'm not going to have a normal mat leave situation because I'm going to have my kids, but I'm also going to be able to socialize because I am an extrovert, and I was excited about that. But we come to this season, we're already within our lives, we had not yet lived alone. We had always had people in our house. We had the office in our home, two babies through that whole season. And I came to this one day. Whoever had just like had like, today is like a day. Today has been a day. And it's not a good day. It's like the kids aren't listening. They poured their milk all over the floor. There's a reason why it says don't cry over spilled milk. Spilled milk sucks. It starts to smell if you don't get it out. There was all kinds of things going wrong. They weren't napping. They weren't going down. You try to time it where they go for a nap at the same time. Hello, moms. That's like win. That's where you do praise hands emoticon. You're like, yes, both are down. And all your feet are up. It's like, this is a winning day. That wasn't happening. As soon as I got a moment, I was called into the office, my basement, to have a meeting around our sisterhood tea parties, and I'm like exhausted. I haven't showered yet. My hair looked like wet. I had to be presentable to people who are in my house. I would rather be sleeping than sitting there talking to Colin and Caleb about sisterhood. Who cares? I just want a nap. I just want a coffee. I just want somebody to do the laundry that's piling that I'm like, ah! It's screaming at me. I was just like, ah! I was coming to the end of myself. Sitting there in that meeting, I was planning my breakdown. Have you ever done that? You're like, you're having a day. You can't break down yet because you're in public or you're in your house feeling like you're in public and you can't. And so you pull it together and you just go, when I get home, oh, it's going to be so good. I am just going to walk in my house, put my comfy pants on, take these jeans off. Yes. Put on the comfy pants, go up to my room, put the kids somewhere where they can't hear me, and I am going to break down. So I was plotting this, sitting in this meeting. I'm like, it's coming. I feel it. It's coming. I can't wait. It's like there's a monster that needs to come out, and it's going to come out, and today is the day. And so I leave that meeting. They're like, yeah, you're done. I'm like, thank God. And I go upstairs, and what do? I grab the Nutella and a spoon. Next to the Holy Spirit is Nutella. It's not in Scripture, but promise you, it's like right there, right? So I grabbed the Nutella, grabbed a spoon, went into my closet, and I sat there, and I just kind of like, I just fell against the wall. It was so dramatic. It felt so good while I was doing it. It's like if I was in a movie, there'd be some like song that'd be perfectly playing right now. Has anybody ever done that? I need to cry. What is the song? What's going to make it like really come up and out? You know what I mean? It's going to access the emotion. And then if you throw in a mirror, then it's like the breakdown is on. It is on. The tears start to flow and then you turn to the mirror and you're like, oh, there it is. There's the feeling. I see it. I'm connecting to it. Let's do this. I didn't have a mirror, but I had Nutella, and I had the song in my head playing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm honestly just silent, because how many of you know moms are like, it's quiet. It's quiet. And you just sit there, you're like, oh. And it's like, what do I think about this season? What am I feeling? What am I feeling? Why do I want to kill Colin and Caleb? Why do I hate everybody that's walking into my house? I'm like, hey, guys, so good to see you. Why? What's going on the inside? And as I'm about to access it, I'm about to go, Holy Spirit, poof, the door opens to the closet. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm like, about to like go. And my husband is standing there and he's like, babe, are you okay? And if you know Caleb, he knows exactly what's going on. He's like an X-Acto knife. He can go like, boop, and hit it. And I didn't want that. I'm like, I need Jesus right now. So I said to him, I'm like, babe, I need to be with Jesus right now. I don't need you. No. I don't want solutions. I don't want your like strategy. I don't need that right now. And he went, whoa, if she recognizes she needs Jesus and not me, this is real. And so without saying a thing, he just went, surprisingly, just shut the door. I was like, wow, something's obviously wrong with me. He took me seriously. And then I, like, as soon as I went, okay, it just all just came. Honestly, tears, just whoa, like swell of emotion that I didn't allow myself to feel. So I'm fine, I like this season with everyone in my house and two babies and one still feeding and not sleeping. I love it, it's so good. Like everything's moving forward and I'm like doing it all. Like I'm a mom, I'm a pastor, I'm a wife, I'm a chef. I'm a, you know, I jog sometimes to stay in shape. Like I'm doing it all, I'm good, but I was not good. I was overwhelmed. I was being stretched. There were some human beings that got added to my life, and I didn't yet learn how to grow and enlarge with how my family was enlarging and how our church was expanding. I was failing to grow with it, and I was overwhelmed. And so then I fell, literally, very dramatic moment, but it felt so good. I fell on the floor. I went from sitting to, like, lying down. Desperate. I'm like, whoa. I'm down on the floor, but my face kind of landed next to the, we had a vent in our, you know, closet, which was great because we put a baby in there eventually and they could breathe. Fantastic. But at this point was not awesome because I'm like going there and then I hear Colin and Caleb having a conversation and I'm like, Holy Spirit, just I'm so tired. I just can't do this. I am so tired of people. I just need space. I just need breath. I'm saying all this, and they're like, I don't know. Like, when it comes to team night, like, I feel like the stats, like, what are the stats? Like, why on Wednesdays do families not want to come? Is there a solution for that? And like, it is at night. They want to put their kids down. They're like, and I'm like, oh, it's like, oh, I wanted to, like, send, like, fire through the vent. Explosions, you know, I was having visions, just so frustrated. And then it got real that night because Caleb, remember, he exited the catastrophe. Thank God. But then at night, you know how it goes. He's like stored it away. We're going to talk about that later. Our heads hit the pillow. He goes, so babe, what's going on? Like, that was a little, you seem like that was a little crazy. Like, I could tell this is real. And I was like, it is very real. And then it all came up and out. And I'm like, babe, honestly, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it like I'm doing this. It's not working. I'm like, I have nothing to give. I'm giving and I feel like I have nothing to give. But I know I'm called to give. I know I'm called to this place, but I'm struggling to stay in this place. I'm struggling to even want to be in this place and continue to put up my hand and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Like, send somebody else. Because obviously I'm not cut out for this. I'm with spoon and Nutella and saying things that I shouldn't say in a closet in my bedroom alone. Like, what? And then he's like, babe, come on, you know who you are. You know you're graced for this. Not what I wanted to hear. So what did I do? Don't follow my example, Emma. Don't follow my example. I grabbed my pillow and I was like, I'm heading out of here. I don't like what you're saying. So I headed out of there, went downstairs, set up camp on the couch. Felt pretty good. Good man. He followed me down the stairs. If you're going to have an argument with Caleb, it's never going to end until it's like there's peace. Something I learned early in our marriage, and I learned about myself. I'm like, wow, I like peace out. I'm like, I'm done. This is done. And he's like, this is not done. Remember driving once out of the driveway. No, once I went and I took a shower in the middle of an argument. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, there's nowhere I can go. Ah! TMI, maybe for a Sunday morning. I'll save that for the PM next time. But here's the thing. I'm like, that's it, I'm done. I am done. I am just gonna be I love the normal moms that just stay at home. And they're like, beautiful. If you're called to that, amazing. Like, what a place of influence to raise your family, raise your babies, be full-time, all in. It's an opportunity and it's beautiful. And that's your calling. But for me, we all have different callings, don't we? We all have different graces. We all have different fields that God has called us to work and to plow and to toil over. And I know for me, it's not just to serve my family, but I'm here to grow this one. And I need to be all in. And I know that's what I'm called to. But in this season, I'm like, I'm done. I'm just going to start churning butter. I'm going to make some butter. I'm going to make my own soap. I'm going to do that stuff. I'm going to just do all that and forget sisterhood, forget dreaming of a conference, forget Sunday morning preaches, whatever. You guys will be fine, right? You'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm done. And Kale's like, okay, babe, maybe it's not what you're carrying that is the issue, but maybe it's how you're carrying the season. You want to throw out the what and go, the what is the problem? The what, that's the enemy of my season right now is what I'm carrying. I'm doing too much. I'm being too stretched because clearly I'm doing too much. The ask is too big. He's like, maybe it's not. Maybe it's actually how you're carrying it. Maybe there is a strategy. There's that word. Maybe there is a strategy for your stress. Maybe there's a strategy in the struggle so that you can continue. And so it was in that moment, in that place where I went, oh, didn't want to say, you're right. But you know that I knew it was. Because deep down, it feels good to go, I quit, doesn't it? Just to entertain it for a second and go, yeah, I'm done. Done. And then in your mind, you're in this beautiful field, just frolicking through flowers. But you know, deep down, this is a fantasy. This is not reality, but it feels good for a minute. But the reality is I needed to find the resolve in that season to push through, to be enlarged, just like David declared over his challenge, over his distress, over his obstacle. What an amazing spirit. What an amazing spirit. He's going, when I am in distress, Spirit of God, when I am in distress, when I am discouraged, when I am disappointed, when I am overwhelmed with my insecurities and my lack and what I do not have and who I am not, when I am facing off with the giants in my life, whatever that may be, whether it be family, relationships, finance, just inner struggles that nobody knows about, when I'm faced off with that, don't take me out of the game. Don't remove me from the battle that I'm looking at. Instead, enlarge me. Instead, make me bigger than the obstacle. Instead, stretch me out so the thing that I'm looking at, the challenge that I'm faced with, I'm bigger than it. Because the truth is, we serve a God who is bigger than any giant, who is stronger than any obstacle. And any obstacle is what? An opportunity. An opportunity. And I want to show you that this morning, and I want to kind of give you keys and tools this morning so that you can continue to stay on the path, to stay on course, to stay in alignment with the God destiny that is written across your life. Because how many here know that there is a real enemy? There is a real enemy that hates the God kiss and the God grace that is on your life. And he will do everything and anything to distract, to deter, to get you off course, to just numb you. And I believe that the Spirit of God wants to enlarge you. Instead, he wants to enlarge you so that you continue in Jesus' name. The first key we need is to push through the pain. What I know about a God dream is there is a level of pain that goes with a God dream. If you look through scripture, let's look through scripture. Just even think off the top of your head of maybe even David. Since we're talking about David, there was pain that he had to endure. There was a stretching process in David's story. He was totally anointed, but he wasn't yet appointed. There was a season of his life where the Spirit of God went, you're the one, you're anointed for where it is that you're called to serve, and there, my hand is on you, it says, and God was with David. But then there was a whole season almost of contradiction after that anointing. He went back to the same old field that he served God in. after being anointed, there was a process. There was something that God had to do in his character and in his inner man before the appointing time came. And so in the same way, we have to push through pain. When I was delivering our first little man, Judah, who is right here on the front row, taking notes like a champ, amazing, 6 years ago, he was still in here and like out to here. He was almost 10 pounds when he entered the world, praise God. But here I am in labor, and we're like right almost there, ready to push. And they basically were just coming in and out. The nurse was coming in and out going, hey, how's it going? What are you feeling? And then she said, since this is your first baby, you probably don't know what to look for, feel for. She's like, when you feel unbearable pressure, that's when you need to push. So please, we don't know what you're feeling. We're going off of you. When the pressure is on and it's unbearable, you need to push. So put your hand up. And so it was about 5 minutes after that, because I think I'd been feeling it, and I was like, what is this? And then she spoke to it. And so I went, it's getting a little bit pressuresome here. This is getting to be a little bit unbearable. I think I might need to push. And she went, okay, yeah, let's see. And she was like, yes, let's push. It is time to push. And I was like, thank God. But here's the thing, in labor and in birth, how many know that God created our bodies to go through this process? It actually, it gives us a great picture and illustration for what it looks like when you're birthing a God dream. For when God places something alive on the inside of you, you go through a birthing process. And recognize the time that you're in. Recognize that when the pressure gets on, how many know? Most people, and it's unfortunate, but most people, when the pressure gets on and when it gets difficult and when it's like everything's piling up against you, when you've got that dream in front of you and it seems like it's impossible, you have people speaking against your dream, going, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, I love the dream, but you know, it's good. And you're like, no. What did God say? You have voices. You have just maybe financial things that are coming up against you. All of hell can come up against you. But how many know you've got all of heaven on your side? All of heaven on your side to pull on. And so in that moment when the pressure gets on, recognize it is not time to go, I'm out. This is all too much. See, imagine I'm there on the bed and it's like the pressure is on. And they go, okay, yeah, let's push. It's like, no, I'm not going to push. Can we just stay here for like a year? Imagine. No, but this is what we do. I'm trying to show you. This is what we do. Like, oh, I feel the pressure. I don't like this. It shouldn't feel pressuresome, right? My incredible mentor, and I would say a father in the faith in our life, Pastor John Burns, I remember when we were driving back from our retreat, we had a leadership retreat in the mountains, beautiful, in the Adirondack Mountains, and we had a four-hour drive. I'm well with Judah, and he's like, okay, Julie, amazing. The best advice came from a man towards my birth. It's incredible. But he said, listen, when you're in labor and you start to feel pain and you start to feel things moving and enlarging, and your body is preparing to give birth, do something for me, please, internally. In your mind, decide and go, this is normal. Tell yourself, this is supposed to feel like this. It is supposed to be painful. My hips are widening. Bones are moving. There is a child. I'm sorry for the visuals. But there is a child, which they tell you, your baby is now the size of a watermelon. It's like, fantastic. That's great. Let's do this. That is the most discouraging email you will ever receive in your pregnancy journey. But like, shocking. It's going to hurt. But here's what he said. When you actually go, okay, it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. You stop fighting the natural process of birthing. You stop fighting how God actually created your body to work in order to birth. And I would say to you this morning, stop fighting the natural process of how God puts in a dream and then births the dream. There will be pain. There will be pressure. You will want to quit. You will want to grab the spoon and the Nutella and go, I'm done. I'm out. Peace. But how many know that, man, we've got to find the resolve to push through in Jesus' name? Our tenacity is to go retreat, endure, and then I would say, no, both of those suck. To retreat, it's like, I'm out. To endure, you're present, but you're not engaged. It looks like this. The pressure is on at work. The pressure is on in your family life. But what happens is you go, oh, I'm just going to exist in this season. I'm not going to dig in my heels and push through, but we've got to find the resolve. Amen? We've got to find the resolve, and I'm running out of time. Gosh, Psalm 84:5, incredible scripture. Those who find their strength in the Lord, even when their paths, listen to this, wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep. They dig deep and find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. How many know that there is grace for your race in this season? Where there is pain, where there is pressure, there is a pleasant pool. Just going, access it. Access it. Please access it. Please don't retreat. Please don't endure. Dig in, persevere. Don't just endure, but persevere through the season, because when you do, you will discover a pleasant pool in the place of pain. And others are going to look at your life and go, how? How does she continue? How does she stay the path? It's going to be such a beautiful testimony and example. The second key that we need to lock into and find when it comes to staying the path and to enlarging is to understand his ways. I have seen so many people. Kayla's been in ministry for over 15 years, and I've been doing this alongside him, co-leading for the last 7. And in the last 7 years, I've seen too many people forfeit their dream or get off the path of the destiny, the God destiny on their life, or just take a detour and take a little side trip and get distracted because they have failed to understand how God works and his ways. They've been so stuck on the works of God, they have missed the ways of God. What do I mean? Let's look at Moses. It says Moses understood the ways of God, and the people, the sons, the Israelites, understood the works of God. He understood the ways of God, which is why when it seemed like everything was standing up against them, Moses was steadfast. He's like, I'm all in. His circumstances didn't throw him off course or make him question God's character. He so knew the character of God that he was able, in a stormy season, in a season that was contradictory to, I have a promised land for you, while they're circling, food's falling from the sky, I want McDonald's instead of this stuff. When they're walking through all that, he's like steadfast, secure, not going off course, not retreating, not enduring, but persevering. And so we need to understand the ways of God if we're going to see the works of God. But this generation, can I say that this generation, and I don't want to limit us, but right now we have an opportunity, don't we? Because with Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat, and all the other Insta things of the world, it's inspiring because we get to see what God is doing across the planet. But also we have a generation that is obsessed with the works of God. And we're not seeing as much the backstory to that highlight reel. We're not seeing the journey. We're not seeing the sacrifice. Nobody's taking a picture of their kids in a tantrum and their laundry piled up because they just went on a trip and spoke at a conference and whatever. They're not showing the mess that they're coming home to and the reality of that journey. People go, glamour, wow. But they lack the revelation that with that comes real life. Shelley Giglio, she's an incredible leader and pastor in the States alongside Louis Giglio, incredible influence, incredible church. And she posted something on Instagram that I absolutely adored, and we can throw it up on the screen. Just a quick blurb. She does these all the time, and I love them because it helps us to in leadership. Handing stuff off to the next generation is definitely a challenge at times for us older folk. However, it's also that sometimes the younger generation doesn't want the sleepless nights, countless hours invested, inconveniences, personal challenges, required faith, depth of personal prayer, and intimacy with the Father in the dark room that is required to lead. Look, if it were easy, we would give it more readily. Leading is not a joke, and it takes honing of heart and skills. If you haven't yet handed what your dream will hold, use your time wisely to prepare yourself. Once the stewardship is in your hands, you will be more than grateful. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, come on. Hey, we've got to give more significance to the journey than we do to the destination. Amen? Because it's the journey that prepares you for the destination. It's the backstory that gives you the opportunity. It is the dark rooms of your closet with the Nutella where you almost gave up and you went, no, I'm going to lean in even harder. I'm going to get a strategy for my struggle. I'm going to dig deep and find a pleasant pool in Jesus' name. Amen? When you understand his ways, you don't tap out. And you get to actually experience the works of God. You get to those moments where you go, thank God I stayed the course. Thank God I didn't give up when it was hard. Thank God I dug in my heels and went, okay, God, not what are you doing, but why? What are you doing in me through this season? 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, quickly. Paul's speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, he's giving them an encouragement. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Here it is. Here's the real talk. Here's the real Instagram. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we, listen to this, despaired of life itself. Now that's a day. Paul's not just having like, he's not holding Nutella. He's like, I despaired of my life. It's like he's at the end, at the end. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not listen to this, but this happened, come on. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. But this happened that I might not rely on charisma, that I might not rely on my personality, that I might not rely, Caleb, on my good looks, that I might not rely on all the stuff that I have gotten out of this life, but that I might rely on God. Let me encourage you, if you have been stripped back, if you have felt like, man, I am stripped in this season, more aware of my humanity than I've ever been more aware of my humanity, more aware that, man, without God, I am nothing. I have nothing. It is because of his grace that I can show up to my life. It is because of his grace that I can love my babies. It is because of his grace that I am positioned in this place of influence in this city, in this nation, in government, as a teacher, as an entrepreneur, wherever it is that you're positioned, it's because of his grace that he has called me to this place, and it is his grace that will help me to continue this race that he has set me on. Amen? Come on, understand his ways, and you'll find yourself digging in and continuing. It's incredible. Hey, the last thing that we all need to lean into this morning, and I will end in Jesus' name. If y'all want to pray a prayer in your heart of faith, I would love it right now because I need it. But hey, what has helped me personally, I'm just speaking out of my personal experience. It has taken a village. It has taken a village and some. For me to stay the course, the strategy, what was the strategy? Caleb's there, I'm just bawling. I can't do this. But I know I need to, but I can't. So what do I do? And thank God, my husband, he's a strategist. He's a builder. He knows exactly what pillars need to be put in place in order for the building to continue. And how many know your life was not created to be a start and stop or a start and have a little dance party and pretend this wall doesn't exist? No, your life was created to start and advance from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And so we need strategies. And so the strategy, my husband's like, babe, stop doing it all. Stop doing it all. You're trying to go to the park, make the food, be at team night, write messages, lead the sisterhood, do connect group, do all these things, and we all have, that's my list, but you have a list, laundry, everything else, your work, the carpool, the soccer practices, the hockey practices, 6 a.m., why? But we all have all kinds of things on our lists. When we wake up, it's like, whoa, I'm overwhelmed, I haven't even started. But there's a strategy in your struggle, and for us, it was reaching out and going, I am not Wonder Woman. Because you know what Wonder Woman does for other women? It makes them wonder. How does she do it all? Wonder Woman makes us all wonder. How? And we look in and go, where's the mess? I have a mess. I don't see a mess. I don't see the struggle. I don't understand. How does she do it? And I realized in that season, I was giving our girls, our women, our leaders, an unrealistic picture of what it looked like to lead, to love my husband, to have self-love for myself and lead my relationship with Jesus and raise my babies. I was giving this picture to them that like, yeah, you can do it all and you can have it all. And the truth was behind closed doors, I'm like, I needed to give the real picture and go, no, you can't do it all. You can't. Give up. Give it up. You can't do it all. And so we went, oh, thank God. I got a text almost the next day from a girl that was from our house that we sent to Hillsong College in Sydney, Australia. And she was about a year in. And Stephanie Singali, where are you? I know you're in here somewhere. Amazing. Maybe not. Maybe you're out there getting ready for the people. There you are. She's amazing. Go say hi to her after service because you probably will because she talks to everybody here. She's really good at it. But she's in Sydney, Australia, and she feels the Spirit of God going, just stirring her heart around our family and getting a greater love for our kids and a greater love for this house. While all the way in Sydney, Australia, I'm not going, I'm giving up. I hate what's going on. I'm not doing that. The Spirit of God saw the struggle and was already working out the solution for me and whispering in her ear and going, hey, I'm calling you. And so she went, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and I'm called to serve your family in this season. God spoke to me. I'm called to serve your family. Come alongside as life support. And I love that. I love that language because that's exactly, I was like, and then she came into our world and I was like, I could breathe again. I could breathe again. And I had a new wind in my sails. I had a new resolve. I had a new ability to stand up and above my circumstances because somebody went, okay, I feel called to come and serve your family. And so she took one arm and then the other arm and lifted them up. And went, okay, I'm going to lift you up. How many know when Moses, when he was standing, he was like, man, they were fighting it out. And he lost strength in his arms to hold his hands up. And so he had people come alongside him and go, I'm going to hold up. I'm going to hold up your arms. And as they did, what happened to the battle? It advanced. What happened to what was happening on the ground? They advanced. And so we need each other, don't we? Hey, we are not called to be supermen and wonder women. We are called to rally together, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, and say, if you're strong, I'm strong. If you're strong, I'm strong. And if you're strong, I'm strong. What does that mean? Together we advance and never retreat, because there's accountability, isn't there, in the village of people who go, I'm all in. Are you all in? Yeah, I'm all in. Okay, so together, when we want to quit and give up, we're not going to let each other. We're not going to let each other. And as we stand together arm in arm, holding each other's arms up, we will advance in Jesus' name and never retreat in Jesus' name. Come on, that's a prophetic word over your life. You will advance and never retreat. Come on. We've got to get this resolve, like a holy discontentment that would say, it is time. I've got to move on from this mountain. I've got to move on from this place. I have been here too long. I have been at this mountain too many times. I have been at this place where the pressure is mounting and I have a tendency to peace out. But let's look at the spirit of David and lean into his spirit and not just observe it and go, oh, that's good for David. No, no, no. It's an encouragement to you this morning to go, you can share in that spirit that would look at the obstacle and instead go, this is my opportunity. That would look at the challenge and go, all right, I need a new strategy. That will look at the things that are taunting you, distracting you, pulling you off course, that you'll actually look at it and go, hey, make me bigger. Make me bigger than that mountain.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.